This morning on Father's Day, I'd like to begin reading a passage of Scripture in the Old Testament. We know it's the duty of earthly fathers to provide for their families shelter and food and clothing, and to protect them. We know that is the duty of earthly fathers. And I'd like to notice with you in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, a verse that God gives to fathers in the Old Testament. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." So God is wanting the fathers of Israel to teach their children diligently His word. And notice what it is. Verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Fathers need to be teaching their children there is one God in this universe, and the God of this Bible. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." So fathers are not only to provide for their families materially and protect them from dangers, but we're to teach them the Word of God. Parents are to model Christianity before their children. And I commend the fathers today who have done that. And the best way I know to make us better parents and grandparents is to keep our eyes on our Heavenly Father. I said a moment ago there aren't any perfect fathers, but there is one that's perfect, and that's our Heavenly Father. Would y'all agree with that? I find no fault with Him at all. He is perfect in all of His ways, and you and I would do well to keep our eyes on our Heavenly Father. And here is a very important doctrinal lesson that we all need to keep in mind. If God is our Father, it is by grace alone that He is our Father. We didn't choose to be His children. How many in the house today chose to be the children of your earthly father? That was not a choice left to you and me. Well, it's not left up to us to choose to be His children spiritually, but we can choose to be His obedient children. And how many of us want to be His obedient children? Try to honor Him all the days of our lives on this earth. If we're His children, it's by grace alone. And in the Old Testament, it's not really made very clear that God is our Father. That is hinted at a little in the Old Testament. But beloved, when you get to the New Testament, it is taught very clearly over and over by Jesus Christ, our Savior, and by the apostles, that God is our Father. I want to notice with you a great lesson in that respect. In Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus is teaching us to pray, He would say in chapter 6 of Matthew, He would say, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven." Jesus makes it very clear that God is our Father. He's not just the creator of the universe, which He is. He's not just the provider. He is our Heavenly Father. And you know, we've heard that a lot through the years. And you know, sometimes we can hear something so much, we just kind of take it for granted. Familiarity can breed contempt, It can also breed complacency. How many of you ever think of God as your Father? I hope you do, because He is your Heavenly Father. And Jesus taught us to pray to Him, "Our Father, which art in heaven." He is our Heavenly Father. And all through the New Testament, that great principle is taught us, that God is our Heavenly Father. And, you know, reminds me, many years ago, there was a preacher out in Arkansas, Brother Charles Sandage, and he had two boys. And his youngest boy said one night, they were out in the yard, and somebody commented that the moon was half full. And his son was, I don't know, about 4 years of age, and he thought somebody was saying that the moon had a problem. It was broke. And he said, "Well, my daddy can fix it." Now, you know, that's kind of nice for a son to think that about his daddy. Of course, I'm sure he found out later Brother Charles couldn't fix it. But, you know, it's wonderful as a child to think about your daddy as somebody you can really look up to and trust in. And I guess one of the greatest regrets of my life is that when I was 10 years of age, my earthly father had an accident that resulted in a massive stroke, and it damaged his body and his mind. So my father was not able to really function as a father after that massive stroke. He was crippled, his speech was impaired, he was just not able to carry on in life as he had been. I would have loved to have had my dad around till I was 60, 70 years of age. I thought about Brother Larry Woodard having his mama with him till she was 98 years old. You know, that would have been incredible. But I lost my earthly father when I was 18 years old. And I can just speak from experience this morning. I'd say to every child in this house today, if your daddies are still around, I want to encourage you to love them and honor them and be thankful for them, and don't take them for granted. I hope that'll register with all of us today. But that was not my situation in life, to have my dad around for a long time. I've known preachers that preach with their dads. Their dads were preachers, and I would think, what a wonderful blessing that would have been if I could have just preach with my father. But that was not to be in this world. But my heavenly Father, I learned to love Him when I was a boy. God blessed me through the Holy Spirit to know that I've got a heavenly Father. And He's not going to be having an accident. He's not going to be having a stroke. He's not going to be disabled. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. How many of y'all know that about your heavenly Father? He's not growing old. He's not getting feeble-minded. He's not going to forget you. And He loves you with a perfect love, a love that you cannot begin to comprehend in this present life. And so this morning, I want to spend the rest of my time talking to you about our Heavenly Father. Now, this little boy in Arkansas said his daddy could fix the moon. Well, I want to talk to y'all about your Heavenly Father who created the moon. He created the universe. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the opening verse of the Bible, the preamble of Scripture, the foundation verse upon which the entire Bible rests. You know what that verse is? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know who that is? That's your father. Y'all ought to brag about him, don't y'all think? Y'all ought to speak about him every day to your children and your grandchildren and to your family and to people you work with. Just talk about your heavenly Father. He created the universe. I want to go with you now to a passage of scripture that's familiar with a lot of you, I'm sure, in Isaiah chapter 40. And I want to begin reading in verse 12. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 12, we read this: Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Now in this chapter, Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, is going to be describing the God who is our Father. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Let's look at that verse just a moment. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Now, we've got water up here in these little bottles, which are handy. I couldn't hold the water in this little bottle in the hollow of my hand. I could hold maybe, what, 2 teaspoons of water in the hollow of my hand. How much could you hold in the hollow of your hand? Your heavenly Father can measure and hold the oceans of this earth in the hollow of his hand. Now, if that doesn't get you all excited, I don't know what it's going to take this morning. I'm talking about your heavenly Father. Now, beloved, if you're not close to your heavenly Father, I want you all to work on that. I want you all to get as close to him as you possibly can. I'm not preaching Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck to y'all this morning. This is not a fairy tale. This is truth. We're talking about the God of the universe, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span. Now the span of a man's hand is from his thumb to his little finger. That's how they used to measure horses. You know how many spans they were? Well, listen, Isaiah is saying that God can measure the heavens with the span of his hand. Now, you know, that's incredible, isn't it? That's a big hand. Are y'all with me this morning? I hope so. I'm talking about your heavenly Father. You know, I occasionally, even today, I will run into somebody who knew my earthly father, and they say something nice about him. And you know, it just thrills me. I don't want to criticize anybody's father. You get in trouble right quick. Well, I want you all to know I'm thrilled when people brag on my heavenly Father. He has measured the heavens with the span of his hand. That's an incredible God. They say it's 93 million miles from here to the sun. And the sun is the center of our little solar system. And now astronomers with their powerful telescopes are discovering millions more solar systems in the known universe. See, they talk about the known universe because they know there's a lot of it that's unknown to us down here on this little planet we're living on. But our God can measure it all. Now, let's notice further in this text. He comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. You know, when you're going down the interstate, you'll see these weigh stations where they're supposed to weigh all of these big trucks. That's kind of amazing that they can weigh these 18-wheelers. But we're talking about a God this morning that can weigh the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. We worship an awesome God, beloved, and he is our heavenly Father. Let's continue reading here in Isaiah 40. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. Did y'all hear that? The nations. We're not just talking about Twix County. We're talking about the nations of the earth. That's Italy and Germany and France and England, all of Europe, all of Africa, all of South America, all of North America, all of Asia. The nations of the earth are like the drop of a bucket to God. Now, if you're not impressed with that, I don't know what it's going to take. He is an awesome God. Wouldn't y'all agree this morning? He is an awesome God. And He's your heavenly Father. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. Lebanon was filled with beautiful cedar trees, but all of those cedar trees combined together would not have been enough as a burnt offering to our God. All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing and vanity. Now, verse 18, I want to spend a moment with this verse. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto Him? Boy, that's a sobering verse, isn't it? Who would you and I liken God to? Now, you know, if we're talking about President of the United States, we compare Mr. Trump to past presidents like Washington or Lincoln or Ronald Reagan. You know, you can compare presidents with one another. They have their good points, their bad points. When you're talking about ball players, you can compare Babe Ruth to other ball players. You can compare musicians to other musicians. Who would you compare God to? Is there anything or anyone in the universe that you would say God is like that person or that thing? No. There's nobody or anything that you and I could think of or imagine to compare God to. We've had some great people in this world. I've always admired Winston Churchill. I used to say if I'd have had a boy, I'd have named him Winston. I thought Winston Churchill was a great leader during World War II. We all might be speaking German if it hadn't have been for Winston Churchill. He was a courageous leader during World War II. And I've always admired him, his courage, his brilliance, and his humor. I've always loved Churchill's humor. You know, there was a woman in Parliament that didn't like Winston. And she was always finding fault with him. And she told him one day, she said, Winston, if you were my husband, I'd poison your tea. And he said, well, if I was your husband, I'd drink it. And he thought of it just like that, you know. Didn't take him all day to come up with that kind of humor. I mean, there's a lot of humor in Winston Churchill. Great man, but would you compare God to Winston Churchill? No, he's just a feeble little human being on this earth. Albert Einstein, probably one of the greatest minds in the scientific world. Somebody asked his wife one time, do you understand your husband's work? You know, he helped split the atom. And she said, no, I don't understand his work. I just try to keep his coffee hot for him. I mean, we're talking about a mind that I could not begin to comprehend. But would you compare God to Albert Einstein? No. I think I told you all recently, Sir Isaac Newton, who was considered one of the greatest scientists in the world, said that what we know as humans is like a drop. What we don't know is like a vast ocean. That's true, beloved. God knows it all. Who would you compare God to this morning? There isn't anybody. Now, you and I ought to be more like Him in our attitude and our behavior, but none of us are compared to God. To whom then will you liken Him? Or what likeness will you compare unto Him? No, sir. He's way beyond the the comprehension of men. Verse 22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. I think that verse would suggest to earth, the earth is round, and God sits on the circle of the earth. If y'all ever run into these flat earth people, I've got a good friend who believes the earth is flat. I brought this verse up to him one time, and he thought about it. We dropped the subject. But I want to tell you, beloved, our God sits on the circle of the earth. That's your heavenly Father. Now I want to come down and close this morning. A preacher friend of mine sent me a text this morning, and he said, you know what it takes to make a great sermon, Brother Sam? I had heard this years ago in Tyler, Texas, but he sent it to me this morning. I don't know just why he did it, but maybe it was a Father's Day greeting. I don't know, but he said, you know what it takes to make a great sermon, a great beginning and a great ending, and keep them as close together as you possibly can. So I want to have a great sermon this morning. I know a lot of you have other plans for Father's Day, and I rejoice that families get together as a family and spend Father's Day with your loved ones. That's a commendable thing. But I'm glad you came here this morning, first of all, to honor our Heavenly Father. Now I want to come down to verse 28 here in Isaiah 40. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? He's asking us a question. I'm going to ask it to you all. Did y'all know? Have you heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Now that's all wonderful, brothers and sisters, but I want us to focus now on verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. You all are looking at a person this morning in this pulpit who is weak and frail. But I want to tell you about a God who has been giving me strength for every day for over 77 years. And I praise him in this house today. I acknowledge. You know, the beginning of wisdom is to first of all acknowledge your weakness and your stupidity. Once you can get to the point where you acknowledge you're weak and you're dumb, then you can begin to grow in knowledge and wisdom. You know, I bought a little sign years ago and put it in our boys' room at the house that said, it's what you learn after you know it all that really counts. How many of y'all ever thought you really knew it all? When I was about 15, I thought I didn't have much to learn. You know, I'm going to acknowledge something to y'all this morning. I'm embarrassed in a way, but I'm going to share it with you. When I was ordained, I started speaking in this church when I was 15 in the name of the Lord. And I was ordained when I was 18. And honestly, I started preaching here and there and everywhere. And I got to thinking, you know, this is not such a big book. I mean, we had books at school bigger than this one. What am I going to preach when I preached all this? Now, you talk about dumb. And let me tell you, over the last 50-plus years, this book has gotten a lot bigger. A lot bigger. And I've gotten a lot smaller. But I want to just say to all of us this morning, how many of you need help with your job, with your family, with your children? I tell you, raising kids is a challenge. I've been around a number of kids recently with all kinds of ideas, and I won't go into detail, but I can tell you, our children today are being influenced in ways that I never had to deal with. And my heart goes out to parents today trying to raise their children in this culture. Let me tell you, the United States of America was given a constitution that will govern Christian people. But if we cease to be a Christian people, our constitution won't work. Did you know that? That's right. Our constitution that governs the United States of America was designed by Christian men. 55 of the 56 men that helped to write the Constitution and sign it were God-fearing Christians. They wrote a constitution based on the Word of God. Charlie Kirk, a man that I respected, a man that was killed last year. You ought to hear him talk about how the Scriptures and the Word of God influence the writing of our Constitution. It'll work for a Christian people. When we cease to be Christians, this government will not work. And our country is struggling right now. And our children, God help them. God bless parents bringing up children in this culture that we are in, because I don't think we could say it's a Christian culture anymore. But I want to say to everybody in the house today, God is your heavenly Father. And you've got access to Him day and night through prayer. Did you know that God has given us access to Him through prayer? And you can call on Him day or night. You don't have to be trained in prayer. You don't have to have any big words to pray. I tell you what, I pray a lot. And I'm just going to be honest with y'all. All through the day, a lot of the days, I just say, Lord, help me. Three words, but that's a powerful prayer. And He knows what your needs are. You don't have to explain to Him. He knows. Just ask Him, Lord, help. And He's a present help in time of trouble. And I need Him every day and every hour. And I want the children in this house, these little children, y'all listen to old Brother Sam for a moment. Y'all can pray just as good as any elder or in this house can pray today. Do y'all believe that? How many of y'all really believe I want these children praying for me. They probably get right to the point. I did hear a funny story about two boys that were staying with their grandparents one night, and at prayer time, one of the little boys was praying, and he was praying with a loud voice. He was shouting out, Lord, I want a bicycle, and I want a red bicycle. And his brother said, Johnny, why are you hollering? God's not hard of hearing. He said, yeah, but Grandmama is. He was praying to Grandmama. Well, I want you children to pray to the Father in heaven. Amen. Yeah, Grandmama. Nelda went for a hearing test the other day. We all have access to our Heavenly Father. You don't have to shout at Him. You don't even have to talk out loud. You can just be sitting right there in your chair right now saying, Lord, help Brother Sam. And I want to tell you, I appreciate it. And listen, when you're praying, you're not praying to the government of the United States. If anybody needs help, it's the government. You want real trouble, let the government try to come help you. Isn't that what Ronald Reagan said? The most dangerous words in the English language, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. Let me tell you, we can talk to the God of this universe. I want y'all to leave here today. And you say, Brother Sam, I'm not a real spiritual person. Well, get with it. You ain't got to be anything special. You just one of God's little children. And you can talk to Him and pray to Him and ask for His help. And I want to tell you, He doesn't ignore those prayers. He hears them. Now, He's not a microwave God. I found that out a long time ago. He's not on my time schedule. You know, David in the Psalms one time said, Lord, make haste. Y'all remember that? David wanted God to hurry up. Well, God's not that kind of God that you and I can just rush Him. But He's going to be on time, I can guarantee you that. And His grace is sufficient. It's always sufficient. You say, Brother Sam, I've been praying about this situation a long time and nothing's helping. Well, I want to tell you one thing. I've prayed a lot about a lot of things, and I got up from my knees and nothing changed but me. I felt better. Do y'all ever feel better when you've really prayed to God in sincerity? And I will close with this. Jesus taught us in that model prayer, Thy will be done. Now, how many of us trust God, our Father, enough to say, Thy will be done? I heard one man say, well, before I'd pray that, I want to know what God's will is. That's not faith, brothers and sisters. We just ought to be praying, Thy will be done. And I've tried to do that through my life. Listen. I would be ashamed if y'all knew all my failures. But I can tell you this. I've been praying a long time, Father, Thy will be done. And if I'd had my way, I'd have been at the same church for 50 plus years, like Brother David Crawford was down at McClenny, in the same house. Moving is a job, folks. Y'all ought to try it sometime if you haven't. Nell will quickly tell you how many times we moved while we were in Birmingham. We were there 16 years and moved 7 times. Somebody hollered back there. Did y'all hear that? If I'd have had my way, I'd have lived in the same house like my brother Franklin down here for, well, he lived there 86 years. But let me tell you, my prayer's always been, Thy will be done. And I've had to move a lot, been to North Carolina, Alabama, different parts of Georgia. Hopefully, some way I've been in the will of God. My life is not my own. Yours is not your own. Did you know that? How many of y'all know that right now? Your life is not your own. It belongs to Him. He bought you and paid for you with His precious blood. Now glorify Him in this body, which is His. May we pray, Thy will be done. Thank you all for your wonderful attention.